Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, chapter entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, canto 11, text number 2. Jnaninas
tu
aham evashta
swato
etush
cha
Samata
Swagash
Shaiva Pavargash Cha
Nanyo
Arto Madhurite
Priyaha
Jnaninas Twaham Jnaninas Twaham Evishta
Jnaninas Twaham
Swato hetuscha sammata Swagaschaiva pavagascha Nanyorto madrite priyaha Jnaninas twaham evishta Swato hetuscha sammata Swagaschaiva pavargascha Nanyorto madrite priyaha Jnanina of a learned self-reliant philosopher. Tu indeed.
Aham.
I. Eva. Alone.
Ishta.
The object of worship.
Swarta.
The desired goal of life.
Hetu.
The means for achieving the goal of life.
Cha.
Also. Sammataha.
The settled conclusion.
Swarga.
The
cause of all happiness.
In elevation to heaven.
Cha. Also.
Eva.
Indeed.
Apavarga.
Freedom from all unhappiness.
Cha.
Also.
Na.
Not.
Anya.
Any other.
Arta.
Purpose.
Mat.
Me.
Rite.
Without.
Priya.
Dear object. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. For learned, self-realized philosophers, I am the only object of worship, the desired goal of life, the means for achieving that goal, and the settled conclusion of all knowledge. Indeed, because I am the cause of their happiness and their freedom from unhappiness, such learned souls have no effective purpose or dear object in life except me. Purport. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna stated that one should ultimately surrender unto him, that knowledge by which the material world is seen as illusion. Material attachments are certainly problems for the living entities, since they are diseases of the spirit soul. One who has contracted a skin disease that causes terrible itching gains only flickering relief by scratching the unbearable sores. If he does not scratch, he suffers greatly, but by scratching, even though there is an instantaneous sensation of pleasure, unbearable misery follows as the itching increases. Real happiness is not found in scratching one's skin infections, but rather in becoming free from such disease. Conditioned souls are harassed by many illusory desires, and in desperation, they try to gratify their senses through the hopeless scratching processes of illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. They further try to gain relief through material society, friendship, and love. But the result is unbearable suffering. Real happiness is to eliminate completely the itching disease of material desire. Since material desire is a disease of the soul, one must acquire knowledge to treat this disease and eliminate it. Such therapeutic knowledge is essential as long as one is diseased, but when one is fully healthy, such technical medical knowledge is no longer interesting to the healthy person, and he may leave such knowledge to the doctors. Similarly, in the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, one need not think continually of one's personal problems, but may rather think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, with love and devotion. Lord Krishna advises in the previous verse that one should eliminate one's personal problems through technical knowledge of illusion. After giving up constant meditation on such problems, one can then become a lover of God. Lord Krishna certainly guides each and every sincere devotee internally within the heart and externally through the bona fide spiritual master. In this way, Lord Krishna gradually trains his sincere devotees to give up their irrational attachment to dead matter. Once freedom has been achieved, a devotee begins to seriously cultivate his relationship with Lord Krishna in the spiritual sky. One may falsely think that just as at a certain stage of advancement, one ceases to concentrate on technical, analytical knowledge of illusion, so at another stage, one may give up loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. To nullify such speculation, Lord Sri Krishna here states in various ways that he is the supreme eternal goal of all truly learned human beings. Indeed, the most prominent scholars within the universe are the sages such as the four Kumaras, who accept Lord Krishna as their only worshipable object. Because they have discovered that they are eternal fragmental portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, they are not interested in fruitive activities and mental speculation. Lord Krishna awards celestial bliss and freedom from anxiety to his sincere followers, who have no purpose or beloved object in life other than the Lord. Om Gyan Timirandasya Genanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Nulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swa Badantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Petitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Haridas Thakur describes in Sri Harinam Chintamani that in regards to bhakti and the other processes which are mentioned in the Vedas for self-realization, bhakti is both the means of self-realization and the end. Whereas the other processes of self-realization are means to an end. But they do not culminate in the final activity of the soul or the constitutional activities of the soul. Just like the process of jnana, one may study and according to the Vedic description, then when one follows the process of jnana, one follows the process of separating matter from spirit. And this process is called neti, neti. Not this, not this. One analyzes the different material elements within the material world and he understands not this, not this. I am spirit. I am not material. I am not matter. I'm not this material object, I'm not this material object, I'm not this material object. But rather he goes through the different elements of the material world and he understands I am separate from this. But once you understand that you are separate from the material energy, then what do you do? Okay, now I am spirit. Aham Brahmasmi. I've realized that I am spiritual by nature, not material. But now, what will you do? What will be your activity? What will be your purpose? So the process of jnana, the process of karma, the process of yoga, all the other processes which are mentioned in the Vedas, they are a means unto the end. But they are not the end themselves. They will lead you to a certain point, but they will not lead you into an eternal state of consciousness or an eternal state of perfect consciousness. Whereas Haridas Thakur describes in the Harinam Chintamani that bhakti, the activities of bhakti are both the means to attain the ultimate goal and they are the ultimate goal itself. Rupa Goswami calls this the sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana means practicing devotional service. And sadhya means the goal or the perfection of devotional service. So therefore Rupa Goswami describes that bhakti has different elements or different parts. The first is sadhana, bhakti. Second is bhava, bhakti. And third is prema, bhakti. So the activities that you perform in sadhana bhakti as a sadhaka or as a practitioner in devotional service are the same activities that you perform in bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. Just before Srila Prabhupada left this world in 1977 in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said that the pujaris of Krishna and Balaram are the most fortunate living entities in the universe. Because the pujaris are directly performing nitya seva. This is described within the Hari Bhakti Vilas. There are different types of seva, naimittika seva and nitya seva. Naimittika means seva that you perform occasionally. It may not be activities that you perform every single day. Just like they give the example that naimittika seva means just like serving the devotee's prasadam. Now you may not have the opportunity to serve devotees prasadam every day because there may not be devotees around every day. You may live in an ashram which is in an isolated place and you don't always get the opportunity to offer service to the devotees. So this is naimittika seva. This is seva that you can perform occasionally. Best that you perform every day, but it may not be done every day. But then there is nitya seva. Nitya seva means those activities which are performed every day by the Vaishnavas. So this includes chanting the holy name, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, and worshipping the deity. These are nitya seva. So Prabhupada pointed out that the pujaris within the Krishna Balaram Mandir, or any temple within the world, who every day get the opportunity to serve the deity, they are the most fortunate living entities in the universe because those activities they perform are the same activities that they will perform when they go back to the spiritual world. Just like you make garlands for Radha Vallabha, right? You dress Radha Vallabha, you massage their body with oils, you bathe their body. All of these services which are performed by the pujari, these are eternal services. When you get back to the spiritual world, these are exactly the same services which are being performed in the spiritual world. Every morning Krishna rises. And when he sits up in bed, immediately his two intimate associates, Lord Balaram, who is his eternal brother, and Madhu Mangala, who is his eternal friend, Batu, then they come and they sit on either side of him. Just as soon as he rises practically from bed. And then Madhu Yashoda, she comes and she gives Krishna, Balaram and Madhu Mangala sweet curd. Curd which has been sweetened. And this is the first thing which Krishna eats every day. So just like in the morning when Krishna rises, and then before Mangalarti, the devotees offer him sweet curd, rasgulla, and other preparations like that. These are nitya seva, same, exactly the same activity which is going on in the spiritual world. Everything which is done in deity worship is exactly the same activity which will be done in the spiritual world. And Madhu Mangala, Mother Yashoda, she gives them all sweet curd, and then they all ask for more, so she gives them more. And then Madhu Mangala says, I want more. And Mother Yashoda says, well, that's all there is. And he says, but I'm not satisfied yet, I'm still hungry. And she says, well, that is all there is. And he says, no, anyway. So he's always hungry. Sometimes, in the pastimes in Braj, when Madhu Mangala, when he feels offended by the gopis, then he says, if you want to rectify your offense, then you have to give me 1,000,000 laddus. And then if you go to Varshana, just behind Krishnakun, there's one simasan, one asana is there. And on that place is where Madhu Mangala sits, and the gopis bring him 1,000,000 laddus, and he eats all of them. And he says, now I will forgive you for your offense. So these are nitya lila. This is nitya seva. These are eternal pastimes. So bhakti means that whatever activity we perform in our deity worship, in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting the holy names, in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, these are nitya seva. It is exactly the same as what will take place when we go back to the spiritual world. It is the same activities. They are not different. Chanting Hare Krishna, right? Chanting the holy names of Radha and Krishna. These are nitya seva, or eternal activities which take place in the spiritual world. The devotees are always chanting. Just like our acharyas, such as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he has given us many songs, and these songs, these bhajans or songs, are sung in the spiritual world. Yashomati nandana braja barunagara gokula ranjana karna. When the gopis are churning butter preparing makhan for Krishna and Balaram, then they are singing these songs. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. All of these songs, these are coming from the spiritual world. They've been revealed by our acharyas, such as Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottama Das Thakur. So, these kind of services which you do every day, chanting the holy name, this is nitya seva. When you go back to the spiritual world, you will continuously chant the holy name. Continuously. That's what the devotees do in the spiritual world. They continuously chant these songs in glorification of Radha and Krishna. Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nitya seva. In the spiritual world, Krishna goes out every morning at the end of having his breakfast, and he goes out to tend the cows in the field. And all day, the devotees are going out, messengers are going out into the field, taking prasadam, which Mother Yashoda and Mother Rohini have cooked for Krishna and Balaram, and they take them out into the cow herd pastures. And they deliver this prasad to Krishna and Balaram, and then they come back, and everyone in Nandagram, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and all of the elderly gopis and gopas, then they say, what are Krishna and Balaram doing now? The messengers, they'll say, well, they just killed another demon. Srila Prabhupada says that sometimes Krishna would kill 3 or 4 demons before lunch. Just for play. This is what takes place in the spiritual world. It is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, our acharyas, there are no demons in the spiritual world. When Krishna performs Balma Leela and Balma Vrindavan, when he comes to Vrindavan in this world, then demons actually manifest. Agasura, Pralambasura, Bakasura, Aristasura, Keshi, all these different demons, they actually manifest. In the spiritual world, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, they're not actually physically manifest. There is just the abhiman. Abhiman means there is a mental conception that the demons are around. And the gopis, they feel, oh, the demons are coming. Aristasura is coming. They become very scared. And then they embrace all the tamal trees because they have tears in their eyes because they're scared. They embrace the tamal trees because they think the tamal tree is Krishna. And they say, Krishna, Krishna, save us. So these pastimes which Krishna performs in the spiritual world, and then the devotees, they go out into the cowherd pastures, they observe the pastimes he's performing, and then they come back and they tell all the devotees within Nandagram what is going on, and then everyone is speaking all day what Krishna is doing. All day they're telling each other, Krishna just did this, Krishna just did that, Balaram just did this, Balaram just did that. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam means the pastimes of Bhagavan. Srimad, the beautiful pastimes of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. So all of these pastimes are Nitya pastimes. So hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is Nitya Seva. It is the means to the end and it is the ultimate end. What we are doing here, all of our seva, which we are given by Prabhupada in ISKCON, in the morning program, in our sadhana, this is Nitya Seva. It is all leading to Nitya Seva. It is all leading to eternal service to Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna leads to eternal service to Krishna. Right? Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam leads to eternal service to Krishna. Right? Worshipping the deity leads to eternal service to Krishna. These are eternal activities. At the moment we are practicing sadhana, which means practice, sadhana bhakti, which leads to sadhya, or perfect bhakti. By practicing you will become perfect. Just like when I was a little boy, I was probably about 7, I used to play soccer, and the team I was in were not very good. We used to get beaten every week. We won one match in the whole season. So we used to practice very hard. We just weren't very good, that's all. We were very sincere. We used to practice very hard. So my coach, and when I was a young boy, I can't remember his name, I was only about 7, I said to him one time, I said, practice makes perfect. I was just a 7-year-old kid. I just heard this saying. So I said to him, practice makes perfect. And he said, no. He said, perfect practice makes perfect. Right? You have to train or practice just like you're doing the real thing. That's how you reach perfection in Krishna consciousness. If your sadhana is casual, how do you think you will attain sadhya? How do you think you will get perfect in your devotional service? You won't become perfect. Bahu Janma Kadiyati Shravana Kirtana. We say every morning after Mangalati. Bahu Janma. You can go on for birth and birth and birth chanting Hare Krishna. You can keep going and going and going, but you'll never attain perfection unless you become serious in your chanting. Unless you become serious about the process of devotional service. Rupa Goswami says, Tatra Loyam. He said there is only one price for becoming Krishna consciousness, attaining Krishna consciousness, and that is intense greed, right? Or an intense desire to attain Krishna consciousness. If you are casual, you will not attain it. You will make advancement and you'll take birth again and again in ISKCON and you'll do more service, but you will not attain perfection. If you want to attain perfection, you have to pay the price. And what is the price? The price means we have to become very serious. So this is how we attain perfection in bhakti. You become perfect in bhava bhakti, you become perfect in prema bhakti, you attain love for Krishna. Prema pumarta mahan. The great goal of human life is to attain love for Krishna. This is only attained when you become perfect in your sadhana. Which means you have to become serious in your sadhana. And what is the most important element of sadhana? Right? It is chanting Hare Krishna. What's that?
Shraddha.
Yeah, shraddha is the beginning of spiritual life. But the most important element of sadhana is chanting Hare Krishna. So you have to work on your chanting. Which means your chanting has to become, first of all, Prabhupada says, attentive. First you have to learn to chant attentively. Then you can go to higher levels of deeper absorption in chanting. Just like I was speaking to His Holiness Devamrita Swami about 10 days ago, and I was discussing some problems that I'm faced with at this point in my life. And then we discussed different things. But ultimately, his conclusion or his ultimate advice was that if you want to overcome your problems, because basically in the material world we have so many problems. And all the problems are different. My problems are different to your problems. But at the end of the day, they're just material problems. Actually, they're not different. They're just different varieties of material problems. But basically, it is the same problem. We're away from Krishna. That's the actual problem. We're separated from Krishna. That is the actual problem. Of course, we say, oh, you know, I'm not married, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I have this problem, and this person doesn't like me, and, you know, this situation is like that, and this person, you know, it's like, we all say we have different problems, but we all have one problem. We're separated from Krishna. So Maharaj gave me one answer, although we discussed other things. Not that we just blanket everything. You know, when we counsel devotees, we try to help them with their problems. But ultimately, he concluded that the ultimate answer to our problems, he said, you have to become deeper in your chanting. And that is the challenge for every devotee in every circumstance, every day. We have to become deeper in our chanting. Because that is the answer to our problems. Chanting Hare Krishna. Because it is not in the material world. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, you are not in the material world. If you're actually chanting attentively, Prabhupada says in the Anchalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says that the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra is the sound of Krishna's flute. When Krishna plays his flute, that sound which comes out of his flute, right? Prabhupada describes in the Anchalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that enters the material world as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When you are chanting Hare Krishna, you are hearing spiritual sound, pure spiritual sound vibration. So if you are attentively hearing that, then you are becoming liberated from the material world. And Bhagavatam states this, Kelea dosha nite rajan asti hyeko mahanguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Mukta sangha means you become liberated from material association and contamination by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It is pure spiritual sound vibration. So, as has been mentioned in this particular purport, that in order to overcome our material attachments, we need to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it states that one of the purposes of the Bhagavatam is to allow us to differentiate between matter and spirit. To understand the difference between reality and illusion. Because at this point in time, all of us are in illusion. And what is Sanskrit for illusion? Maya. Maya means that which is not. All of us are in Maya. Unfortunately, at this point in time, we're in the wrong Maya. Because the living entities are always in Maya. But there are two Mayas to choose from. One is called Yoga Maya, which all the living entities in the spiritual world, they are in Yoga Maya, which means they are covered by Krishna's Leela Shakti, so that they think that Krishna is just one of them. That is Yogamaya. They are covered by his Yogamaya potency. Whereas in the material world, we become covered by Mahamaya, which means illusion. So therefore, Bhagavatam says one of the purposes of the Bhagavatam is to first of all differentiate the difference between reality and illusion, or matter and spirit. So this is the purpose of the Bhagavatam. So we can understand what is the difference between matter and spirit. This is why when Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, Shukadeva Goswami, he did not immediately go to the pastimes of Krishna, which he spoke in the 10th canto. Because he understood that the people who were reading the Srimad Bhagavatam in the future, in the Kali Yuga, they could not immediately go to the pastimes of Krishna, which are discussed in the 10th canto. First, there must be some adhikar, or some qualification. If you're not qualified, as Hridayananda Maharaj points out in this purport, if you're not qualified and you go straight to Krishna's pastimes, as they are described in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, then you will see those pastimes as being mundane. You'll see them as material. You'll misunderstand Krishna. Because Krishna does certain things which are, from a material point of view, they are hard to understand. From a spiritual point of view, they're not hard to understand at all. But from a material point of view, they're very difficult. So therefore, the Bhagavatam is spoken categorically, and Prabhupada explains in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, he says that the Bhagavatam must be studied categorically, or systematically. Before you study Canto 2, you must study Canto 1. You study Canto 1, then Canto 2, then Canto 3, and you progress categorically or systematically through the 9 cantos. Now Prabhupada says that when you come to the end of the 9th canto, he says in the introduction to the Bhagavatam, he says, when you come to the end of the 9th canto, you will be a God-realized soul, if you have studied it properly, under the guidance of a self-realized spiritual master. Then you will be a God-realized soul. And then when you approach the 10th canto, you won't see Krishna as something mundane. You'll see Krishna as he is, Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha. Eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. You won't see him as being an ordinary person. So therefore the Bhagavatam must be studied in this way categorically. And Prabhupada says in the second canto, in one purport, he says that as long as you are attached to illicit sex, you should not go beyond the first and second canto. You should not progress rapidly. You must study properly. Then you will get the benefit. And you must study the difference between matter and spirit, and that's what Bhagavatam does very much in the beginning of the early cantos. When you go into Canto 3, there is an entire description. 3 times it is discussed within the third canto, the material creation. 3 times. It goes through it again, and then a third time it goes through it, in slightly different angles each time. Now why is that? Why does the Bhagavatam go through so much detail on creation? Right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that for devotees who are materially attached, or who are attached to this material energy, it is very beneficial to hear these pastimes of creation. Sometimes we think, oh, it is boring. Sometimes it's not necessary. Oh, I can skip over this part. But it is very beneficial. Because you understand when you study these parts of the Bhagavatam, Maha Vishnu, right? From his pores come universes, which he then glances upon. And his glance contains all the jivas. And all the jivas enter into these different universes. We are one of these jivas. This is what happens to us. This is what has happened. Do you remember it? Do you remember being in the body of Mahavishnu? Right? And then traveling into one of these universes. We happen to get into this particular one, with the forehead of Brahma, right? And then we entered into this universe. And the Lord, in his glance, there was Kala Shakti, Ichta Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, his different desires, his different potencies, 16 principal Shaktis, which entered into this universe in that glance and made the whole thing begin to manifest. So the entire universe began to manifest, and then we found ourselves within this universe. Manifested within this universe. And we began to identify with matter. We began to think we are a product of this material energy. And then the Bhagavatam describes there are 26 elements which make up this material energy. And we are identifying with one of these elements. We are identifying with all of these elements. We are thinking that we are something that we are not. This is called Maya. So therefore the Bhagavatam describes all of this, and we are meant to study this, and we are meant to contemplate all of this. So that then, as the Bhagavatam says, we would distinguish the difference between matter and spirit, or reality and illusion. That is the purpose. Now in Kali Yuga, it is difficult for people to even study and read the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. And in Kali Yuga, that's difficult for people to read a scripture that's even that big. So then at the beginning of the Kali Yuga, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses. And that is the synopsis, or the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is an elaboration upon the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna finishes the Bhagavad Gita by saying, Sava Dhamman Parijaja, reject all kinds of false religion. And then the Bhagavatam begins by rejecting Kaitava Dharma. Where the Bhagavad Gita finishes, that is where the Bhagavatam begins. So in Kali Yuga, it becomes very difficult for people to study the Srimad Bhagavatam, so therefore Krishna gave a condensed version, he gave the Bhagavad Gita. Now in Kali Yuga, it's very difficult for people to even study the Bhagavad Gita and even understand the Bhagavad Gita. Even they find that a challenge. Oh, it's very philosophical, it's very difficult to understand. So then the Yuga avatar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave a reduced understanding of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire Bhagavad Gita, in 8 verses called Shikshastika. And the Shikshastika has the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam within it. The entire gradation of elevation in bhakti from Shraddha to Prema. I've been studying for the last 18 months or so. I've been studying the Shikshastika, which is taught to us by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the last book that he ever wrote before he left this world. The final book that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote around about 100 books. The last book that he wrote just before he went into Samadhi in the last 4 years of his life, his final book was Bhajana Rahasya. And Bhajana Rahasya is a very analytical study of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastika. It is based upon the Shikshastika. So I've been studying this for the last 18 months or so, and I've only got up to the 5th verse, Ayi Nanda Tanujat Kinkanam, like that. I'm listening to lectures by His Holiness Mahanidhi Swami about these. He's giving very elaborate lectures on these. I've been listening to them for a long time, trying to understand. So in Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu gives it a very simple process. He gives a very simple analysis of the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness in 8 verses. And actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed us to recite these 8 verses every day. That's actually his instruction. His followers should recite, and in many temples in the world, they do recite those verses every day. So, the essence of the entire philosophy of Krishna consciousness is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because in Kali Yuga, it's difficult to study the Bhagavatam, difficult even for people to study the Bhagavad Gita, and it's even difficult for people to study the Shikshastika. So therefore, to break it all down and make it very simple in Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement in Kali Yuga, the Sankirtan movement, is based on very simple principles. Simply dance and chant in ecstasy and take Krishna prasadam. And that is the essence of our entire philosophy. That is the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. In one sense, the Bhagavatam has many purposes, but one of the purposes of the Bhagavatam is to glorify the holy name. This is pointed out by Jiva Goswami, and there are many verses, and there's a way of understanding the Bhagavatam just as a glorification of the holy name of Krishna. So in Kali Yuga, this is the process. If you find it too difficult to study the Bhagavatam, too difficult to study the Bhagavad Gita, too difficult to study the Shikshastika, not that you should not study, you should study. We all need to study. We all need to read Prabhupada's books. But the essence of all of it, if you're finding it all too difficult, you just chant sincerely in front of Gaur Nitai. Dance and chant in ecstasy and When you are a little fatigued, go and take prasad. This is the Sankirtan movement. And you will get the highest benefit of life. The highest goal of life will be reached, the param gati. This is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the unqualified living entities in Kali Yuga. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Always an illusion, but one is good and one is bad. That's all. Yoga Maya means that everyone in Vrindavan, Krishna is there, but they do not think Krishna is God. They think Krishna is our friend or our son or our lover. So this is illusion, because if you think he is God, then that's who he is. He is God. But if you think he is like that, then it disturbs the relationship. So therefore, this is good illusion. This is, or as Prabhupada said, auspicious maya. It is auspicious, it is good. And the other maya is not so good. That is the one we're in now, maha maya. So if you practice Krishna consciousness sincerely, then you'll be transferred by Krishna from maha maya to yoga maya. It means, Prabhupada explains that is the last snare of maya. Prabhupada says, he has a saying in his book, he says, the last snare of maya, or the last trap. The last trap of maya. No. It is the last trap of maya. So you give up your attachment in this world, but then if you want to go to impersonal Brahma Jyoti, that means that you are thinking, I am God. I am supreme. I will merge and I will become one with supreme. I am supreme. I will become one with the supreme energy, like that. So that is, Prabhupada says, the last snare of maya. You're not out of maya because you're now, you gave up the material world, but now you're thinking you are God. That is also maya. So Prabhupada said that is the last maya. No. Prabhupada explains that they get bored up there because nothing to do. So when they get bored, then eventually they have to come back to material world again. They can't go to the spiritual world from there. Unless, Prabhupada explains, unless Narad Muni goes through, when Narad Muni goes from spiritual world to material world, he passes through Brahma Jyoti and he's playing his Veena. He's chanting Hare Krishna. So if one of them hear Narad playing and they think, oh, I want to also chant Hare Krishna and be a pure devotee, then they can go to the spiritual world. Where Prabhupada explains, generally they just come back to the material world. And then they become philanthropic, they open hospitals and start Seder spiritual movements. Five moons. There's five different types of relationships. Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Nectar of Ocean. There are five relationships you can have with Krishna. But if you look at the spiritual world, if you look at the first canto of the Bhagavatam, you can see there is Goloka Vrindavan and there is Vaikuntha. So even in the spiritual world, there are different realms or different places. And the Lord takes different forms, and in those different forms, then he has different relationships and his devotees have different moods. So in Vrindavan, which is the topmost area of the spiritual sky, where Krishna resides, which we are desiring to go to in ISKCON, then it is described that only the three higher rasas exist. There is only Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, which means Krishna is a friend, he is a lover, or he is a son. Like that. In Vaikuntha, which is where Lord Narayan is, there is only Dasya Ras. Dasya means he is God, we are his servants. Like that. So that is also pure, under the influence of the spiritual energy, the Daivi Prakriti. But the moods are different. Different parts of the spiritual world, there are different moods amongst the devotees. Okay. Any other question or comment? How to increase the quality of the chanting. It means that in the beginning, Prabhupada emphasized that you must hear the sound of the mantra. You must hear it like that. The biggest problem, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points this out, that there are 10 offenses in the holy name. One of the offenses is to be inattentive whilst chanting. When we say in the morning, the list that we recite is from one of the Puranas. So then we say it is also an offence to be inattentive while chanting. But if you look in Harinam Chintamani, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he merges the fifth offence with the sixth offence because they're very similar. One is to think the holy name is imagination. One is to give some mundane interpretation like that. So those two become one because they're very similar. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he states that to be inattentive whilst chanting is one of the 10 offences. Either way, it's an offence. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this offence is the cause of the other 9 offences. Right? To be inattentive. So the emphasis, and devotees have to, we have to learn this sooner or later, you only advance in chanting when you become attentive in chanting. So this means primarily in the beginning, chanting is a meditation. It is a form of dhyan. Dhyan means meditation. So when you are chanting, you are not doing anything else. Right? You're not putting your washing in the washing machine, right? You're not driving your car, right? You're not sitting in the courtyard talking to someone else. You're not reading the roster, right? And you're not looking at the posters on the notice board. This is not attentive chanting, right? Attentive chanting means you go and you begin to meditate on the holy name. That is attentive chanting. So myself, I try. Whenever I chant, when I pick up my beads, then that is what I'm doing. Just chanting. Right? So it means I go to the best place I can find. Right? If I'm here at the temple, I come to the temple, I go to Prabhupada's room, because I don't see any places which are better. Right? Unless it's very hot, maybe I'll go outside or something. But outside means try to get away from everyone, not like, you know, in the courtyard, you're just sitting there and you're talking to every single person who walks past. That's not attentive. Right? Or if we're at the farm, which is very conducive for chanting, because there's not a lot of distraction there, right? Then you can practically go anywhere and just chant. So that's the point. Chanting must be attentive. At least in the beginning, do this. Now, the best time to chant, Prabhupada points out, is in the Brahma Muhurta. Brahma Muhurta means 1.5 hours before the sun rises. That is called Brahma Muhurta. All right? This is the most powerful time of day for chanting the holy name. Is the most powerful time of day for any devotional activity. So this should be the... these are some basic principles. Now, how to improve our chanting, there's so many things we can say. But at least in the beginning, if devotees do that, then you have a solid basis that you can begin to improve in your chanting. Okay. Any other question? Comment? Srila Prabhupada ki.